your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, page 741 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be turning to four different passages. This is the first of the four. We'll read only verse 8 of chapter 33 of Isaiah. Stand, please, as we do here at First Baptist, for the reading of the Word of God. You'll read with me, please, on the 8th verse of chapter 33. Ready? The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities, he regardeth no man. Turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 27. And verse 10, page 350 in your Scofield Bible. 1 Samuel 27, verse 10. I guess on that name that you see there in verse 10. You guess your way, I'll guess mine. Let's read together, please. And Achish said, "Whither have ye made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jezreelites, and against the south of the Kenites." Turn now to Isaiah chapter 40, page 747 in your Scofield Bible. Chapter 40, verses 3 and 4. We'll read these two verses together. Ready? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." And now Jeremiah chapter 31. And verse 21, page 806 in your Scofield Bible. And read with me, please. Ready? "Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities." And let's pray. Father, for a lot of folks here tonight, there's just no place we'd rather be in the world than right here. Thank you for our church. Thank you for everyone that's here, even for those who have come in a more casual sense and who may have come out of sense of duty. We pray that they would sense our warmth of family here and that they would be especially open to the Spirit of God tonight. We pray that you'd bless all who are here and those who visit with us as well. We thank you for their choosing our church. We pray that you'd bless us now and give us hearts and minds that are knit together so that you can speak to us tonight. The power of thy Spirit, may we, of course, hear carefully thy word. Bless, we pray, our preacher. We surely thank you for our man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I realize that it's a warm night. I also realize that our air conditioner is doing the best it can. Because of that, I promise you that we will dismiss the service tonight. I also promise you that I'll do my best not to overextend the service. We read a while ago scriptures like this. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. What did it mean? That the highway is in such bad shape nobody could travel on it. We read a verse like this, including this. Whither have ye made a road today? We read also a verse that talked about making the high places low, the low places high, the rough places plain, and the crooked places straight on the highway. We also read a verse that reminded us that we're supposed to set up the waymarks, or danger signals, if you please, or road signs on the highway. And those are my texts tonight. I want you to listen carefully. And before I preach, let me say that I have no forewarning that I'm going to drop dead. I've been saying an awful lot lately about certain preachers that died younger than I am. But the wicked never die young. So with a colt, then we'll live forever. Brother Eddie will get his glorified body, just his earthly body. But I want with all of my heart, I want this church to continue 20 years from now like it is tonight. You see, I happen to love that little boy right there on the front row and these little children over here. I happen to have given much of my life for them. And I do not want to, I want them to have a place like this to go as long as they live. And I sense the fact that though I have no intentions of going to heaven soon, I do know that there are many people my age who do go to heaven. And by the way, that's where I'm going. Though there have been people suggested I go other places. But I want you to listen to me tonight as I do what I can again to extend the life of this church. Our Heavenly Father, I want to help tonight. Please help me to help my people, especially my people who are little people. May we tonight encourage the folks, each adult, to dedicate himself for the perpetuation of this place as long as this place exists. In Jesus' name, amen. With all of my heart, I believe what I'm about to say. And I think that most of our kind of fundamentalists would say the same thing. I believe that I'm standing behind the most important pulpit in the world. With all my heart, I believe that. I think there are many wonderful churches in America, and many great churches, most of whom have been influenced by the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And by the way, if you're my enemy tonight, then I'd suggest that you really give some thought. I'm going to give you more fodder to use on me than anything. This is, you came the right night. I said again, I believe that I'm standing behind the most important pulpit in America. I'm the least of God's servants. I do not feel at all that I am the greatest servant of God anywhere. But I do believe that I stand in the greatest church in all the world. I believe I pastor the church that comes nearer to holding the future of America in its hands than any church in the world. I think that I'm chancellor of the college that has the most responsibility of any college in the history of America for the future of our nation. Now tonight I want to just talk to you for a while, and I want you to listen to me carefully. The prophet Isaiah said, "The highways lay waste." The highways of old-fashioned fundamentalism were desperately in need of repair. For years, chug holes and wear had made them nearly impassable. Every generation of our country had allowed them to decay just a little bit more. Soul winning was almost extinct in America. Standards were weakening. We were looking more like Southern Baptists all the time in our independent Baptist circles. Old-fashioned preaching was being replaced by exegesis, drama, musicals, and cinema. You can go to numbers of colleges that erroneously call themselves fundamentalists, and you can study 4 years to learn how to be in a Christian drama. I wouldn't give you a dime for all of it. Not a dime for all of it. We don't need Christian drama. We need old-fashioned hell-raising preaching. That's what we need. And as long as I'm alive, there'll be no drama department at Howells Anderson College. But those things were creeping in. You see, we want to be like the big boys. We want to be fundamental and copy the denominational schools and so forth. Opera was becoming popular in many of our schools. Still is. And amens and hallelujahs were not only leaving, but oftentimes were being discouraged. I sat in myself in a certain Christian camp where I used to preach in America and heard the director of that camp say, "We do not want amens in the services here." I heard the very same thing said at a certain Christian university where I preached, and as soon as I heard it, next time anybody said anything worthwhile, I hollered amen. I like the old story about the fellow hollered amen, and usher walked down and said, "We don't say that here." And the fellow said, "Well, I got the old time religion." The usher said, "You didn't get it here." Interdenominationalism was flourishing in our independent Baptist churches. We're sending our boys off to interdenominational schools, training them how to believe in the invisible church. By the way, that's what they go to on Sunday night. And then training so they come back home and criticize the old-fashioned church that sent them to this institution. Such interdenominational organizations such as Awana, Focus on the Family, and others were making our churches less and less Baptistic. And by the way, don't be upset with me because I say this, because if you look outside, there's a sign over here that says First Baptist Church. There's a sign over here that says First Baptist Church. There's a sign across the street that says First Baptist Church. A sign on the back of that building says First Baptist Church. Two signs facing that way say First Baptist Church. And a sign in the parking lot over here say First Baptist Church. So don't come in and criticize us for being Baptist. You were warned very carefully before you walked in. The highways were lying waste. The independent Baptists were being sucked in by Satan's new Bibles. I'm talking about the Revised Standard Version. I said Satan's Bible. I'm talking about the American Standard Version. I said Satan's Bible. I'm talking about the New American Standard Version. I said Satan's Bible. I'd suggest that you visitors start looking intelligent. I'm going to think you're an enemy if you don't watch out. And we may stay here until we're sweating up a storm tonight. I'm talking about the NIV. I said Satan's Bible. I'm talking about the New King James. I said Satan's Bible. I'm talking about the Reader's Digest Condensed Version and any other version except the King James Bible. Independent Baptists were being sucked in. I said that the highways were lying waste. Like the Protestants returned to Catholicism, independent Baptist churches were returning organizationally and in some cases in their services, much like their mother, the Southern Baptist Convention. The yuppie type of church was making inroads in our ranks. Interdenominational colleges and universities were courting our independent Baptist young people. Now, I'm not opposed to interdenominational colleges if they'll just train their own, leave ours alone. I just think if you're going to be a Baptist preacher, I'll go to a Baptist college. I think if you're going to be a barber, it's a good thing to go to barber college. If you're going to be a doctor, I'd go to medical college or medical school. If you're going to be a dentist, I'd go to dental school. If you're going to be a mechanic, I'd study mechanics. If you're going to be a Baptist preacher, go to a Baptist school. The highways were lying waste. The campus church was considered by many as a New Testament church instead of the sorry substitute that it really is. Such institutions as Dallas Seminary suddenly were enrolling our independent Baptist young people. Lordship Salvation and Lifestyle Evangelism were getting naive followers into their ranks. I'm saying several years ago, the highways were in bad shape. Hyperdispensationalism was beginning to convince us that it couldn't happen again.
The day of great churches was over, they said. Revival is not for this age, they said. In fact, they've gone so far as to teach the ridiculous, satanic doctrine. And by the way, if any Howells Anderson College students believes this, I don't want you in class tomorrow morning. If any Howells Anderson College professor teaches, believes this, I don't want you to teach another day at Howells Anderson College. And if I find out about it, that's going to happen to you before sunup tomorrow morning. Even the heresy that there was one salvation for the Old Testament and one salvation for the New Testament, and John the Baptist preached one salvation and Paul preached another salvation, and even the heresy that in the millennium another salvation is preached. Now you listen to me carefully. God is a just God. And there's only been one plan of salvation from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to the last person that gets saved. Everybody got saved the same way. And that's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our highways were in trouble. Bob Jones University had attacked the bus ministry and the big churches with articles in their papers attacking the bus ministry. You attack the bus ministry, you're attacking the thing that's near to the heart of Almighty God. And I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about it. Interdenominational institutions were growing fat with money and youth from our independent Baptist churches. We're sending our young people to the formal type college who are laughing at our old time religion when they come back home. I can tell young people that have gone away, that have been sent by old timey, old fashioned fundamental Baptist preachers off to some interdenominational college, only to find the type preaching that got those young people saved was criticized, and they're taught to go back home and criticize both the music and the preaching of the church back home. I'll promise you this. The first Howells Anderson College student that I hear about that goes back home and criticizes his pastor because he may use a few double negatives or split some infinitives or hang some gerunds will hang you on the trees at Howells Anderson College. We're going to send you back to thank God for your old pastor back home that got you saved. We're going to send you back home to thank God for the music that was gospel music and not highbrow church music and not high church music and not rock music with some religious words to it. I don't think you realize what kind of shape the highways were in back yonder a few years ago. We were biting the hand that fed us, ridiculing godly pastors who sent them students. They were teaching young people the opposite kind of music that they'd learned back home. Opera took the place of the old-time religion. Art galleries with questionable kind of paintings took the place of the King James Bible. Cinema took the place of revival. Bach took the place of Fanny Crosby. Mozart took the place of Isaac Watts. Our highways were in awful bad shape. Old-fashioned Baptists were crumbling at the avalanche of the white gloves, interdenominational, passive, dead, dry, enemy posing as a fundamental independent Baptist, and yet they were the enemy trying to dry up the power of God and the informal services and the old-time religion and the old-fashioned altar calls and the bus ministry and soul winning and standards and convictions and preaching on a street corner. They're laughing at that kind of stuff. And it seemed that there was no David or slingshot in sight. Enter First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Enter Howells Anderson College. If you don't like my preaching tonight, you can lump it with sugar or salt. Either way, it doesn't bother me a bit. I said the highways were in bad shape. And let me say this, brother. Mark me down as being for the old-time religion. Mark me down as being for praising God and shouting. Mark me down as believing in women dressing like women and men dressing like men. Mark me down as believing salvation by grace through faith. Mark me down as being a premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture, premillennialist. Mark me down as being a person that believes in that men ought to be men and look like men. And mark me down in preaching the old-time gospel that built this country. And this country wasn't built on a watered-down, high-church, white-gloves kind of fundamentalism. And then I come to the scripture that says, whither have you made a road today? We at First Baptist Church, we're not the only church in America that's built some roads, but we're the church, the biggest church in America that's built some roads. Hiles Henderson College is not the only road-building college in America, but it's the biggest road-building college in America. And most of your road-building colleges in America are headed by graduates or former students of Hiles Henderson College or folks who have been influenced by our pastor's school. We have carefully tried to make roads for young people. We've tried to carefully choose the men such as you see on our platform who believe like we believe. And they're obligated and dedicated to perpetuating the purpose for which this church was founded and these schools were founded. We have repaired a lot of roads. You understand that 75 years ago the soul-winning church was unheard of? You understand that Charles Spurgeon was a greater preacher than I'll ever be, 10 times what I'll be, but you know Charles Spurgeon did not have a soul-winning church? He had an evangelistic church where he preached the gospel and the power of God came and folks were saved. You realize that even J. Frank Norris, one of the men that's had as much influence in America as any man in the last generation, did not pastor what we would call a soul-winning church. He trained young men to go out and preach the gospel from the pulpit and preach folks down the aisles. But the soul-winning church had almost been lost since the book of Acts. But in your generation and my generation, you're sitting in the auditorium now of a church that's spearheaded the turn of house-to-house soul-winning, street-corner preaching, going to the hospitals, the jails, the halt, the maim, the bus ministry, and we spearheaded through our pastor school and our college a return to the soul-winning church. We repaired the road of the soul-winning church. We've been used of God to help repair the road of the King James Bible. Did you know until First Baptist Church of Hammond and Hiles Henderson College took upon itself to crusade for the King James Bible, and that's what we're doing. Crusading for the King James Bible. It's exactly. And so be careful that you remember real carefully what I'm saying, critic, because I want you to have a lot to say when you leave, but you won't shut me up about the King James Bible, brother. We were the first church of any size and the first college of any size to come out and say we are crusading for the King James Bible. And I'll promise you, because of that, for every one person that crusaded for the King James Bible 20 years ago, there's 1,000 tonight crusading for the King James Bible. We have repaired that road. We repaired the road of separation. We say if grandma didn't wear shorts, then granddaughter shouldn't wear shorts. We say if grandma didn't go mixed swimming, then granddaughter shouldn't go mixed swimming. We say if grandpa got a haircut, then grandson ought to get a haircut. We're saying the standards of grandpa were good enough for grandson and granddaughter, and what was good enough for Dwight Moody and Billy Sunday and Charles Spurgeon and John Rice and Lester Olof is good enough for us in our generation. We've repaired the road of separation. We repaired the road of the local church. Openly and vigorously, we have attacked the heresy of the invisible church. I said heresy. Heresy. I was going to spell it, but I can't. That's a part of being what I'm talking about here. We're openly attacking the heresy of the universal church, which is a Catholic doctrine handed down to Protestants, handed down to our interdenominational people and taught in the interdenominational schools and have been infiltrated in Baptist. Did you know that the greatest punishment, the greatest battle of our Anabaptist friends, the forerunners of our Baptist churches, was over the doctrine of the universal church versus the local church? We built that road, prepared that road. We prepared the road of ecclesiastical separation. We repaired the road of old-fashioned Baptist position. We've repaired the road of informal Christianity. Tonight, people stand up here and hold their Bibles up and say, well, glory. Tonight, people wave their hands and say, praise the Lord. You couldn't find that independent Baptist church 20 years ago. Where did it start? Right here in this auditorium. We have repaired the road. You say, I don't believe in amens in church. Well, you better go to hell instead of heaven then, because you're going to have a time when you get to heaven. Don't get mad at me. I'll go to Florida and get my Bermuda shorts on and play shuffleboard the rest of my life. live on a Social Security check. We've cleared the road of chug holes such as lifestyle evangelism, ultra-dispensationalism, and hyper-Calvinism. We've repaired the road of music in our churches to old-time music instead of this hodgepodge, this charismatic kind of music, which is no gospel music at all. And the high church anthems, which is no gospel music at all. I tell you, the longer I live, the more I like the songs that are tested. I'm talking about, must Jesus bear the cross alone? I'm talking about blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And you folks that sing here could do a lot worse than start singing more of the old-fashioned song. How about old rugged cross for a change? How about blessed assurance? How about Jesus is all the world to me? How about what a friend we have in Jesus? How about when the saints go marching in? How about when we all get to heaven? How about at the cross where I first saw the light? How about at Calvary? How about the old-fashioned songs have been tested and proved in revival campaigns and old-fashioned churches for years? I'm saying we have repaired that road. We built some roads. Now then, we're reminded in Isaiah 43 and 4 how we're supposed to repair these roads. It says we're supposed to make the low places higher, the high places low, the crooked places straight, and the rough places plain. You young people don't have as much brush to clean out as we did. We cleaned it out for you. You'd have a hard time going anywhere in America without finding a church influenced by this church where you can rear your children like you rear them here. No church alive in this generation has fought more battles, endured more criticism, made more enemies, met more opposition, because we are trying to repair the roads of our fathers. Faith of our fathers! Living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. We've tried to repair the roads. And by the way, I don't want you to travel the rough roads some of us have had to travel. I'd like to see that you young people can have some roads that are cleared out for you, have been repaired. We've done it for you years before there was a you in some cases. And then Jeremiah said, once you've repaired the road, set up the way marks. Here's what bothers me. There are folks tonight in this room who agree with everything I've said so far, except what you're doing is you're not helping to preserve the roads that we try to rebuild. Now, we have repaired the roads. We've set some way marks, road markers, danger signs, warning you of what can destroy the roads again, because it's what destroyed the road. And by the way, I'd like to see one generation learn from a previous generation. Now, I have reached my 70. As I said the other night, about the age that G.B. Vick slumped over at his desk and died, the age that J. Frank Norris was taken, I think he was in Florida preaching and his life was taken, the age that H.A. Ironside went to heaven, 10 years older than John Bunyan was at the age of his death. I'm 14 years older than George Whitfield was when he died. I'm 12 years older than Charles Spurgeon was when he died. I'm 7 years older than Martin Luther was when he died. I'm 15 years older than John Calvin was when he died. I'm 6 years older than Dwight Moody was when he died. I'm 6 years older than John Wycliffe was when he died, or Wycliffe, whichever you prefer. I'm 3 years older than John Knox was when he died. And you wonder why I'm trying to get this church in shape? You wonder why I'm trying to clean up the brush off the highways and build some new highways and warn you? But the tragedy is that not many of you folks are heeding the warnings. The truth is, I'm talking to people tonight that are laying the foundation for the same kind of Christianity that we tried to clear out in America. I see the seeds of destruction in First Baptist Church. I see seeds of destruction more than that in Howells Anderson College. And I'm still trying to repair roads and still warning. But I know that in a few years my work will be over. Please don't feel sorry for me, but I want to just tell you the truth. The shovel's a bit heavier than it used to be. I've carried it and used it longer than most. The pick is not as sharp as it once was in road repair. The back is a bit more weary. The sun is a little hotter than it used to be. The days are getting longer. The load is getting heavier. The brush is getting thicker. The nights are getting longer. And I cannot do it by myself. If you think I can stand up here and preserve this church for the next generation, you're sadly mistaken. Every member of our staff ought to dedicate himself for the preservation of this church for the next generation. Every deacon on our deacon board. You sat at home on Wednesday night and you're helping for the destruction of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. You watch your videos as a deacon at home and you watch your movies and you're helping to prepare for the destruction of the church that we tried to build. Every single deacon on our deacon board, 93 of you, ought to say, I'll do what I can do to preserve what Brother Hiles has tried to preserve through these years. Every Sunday school teacher, every Hiles Anderson College employee, and by the way, when you get to where you can't get along with each other, you're helping and aiding the destruction of what we're trying to build here. And some of you folks are sitting out here right now, Hiles Anderson College people right now, sitting out here right now saying, boy, he's right. Let's preserve it. Well, bless God, then preserve it by getting along with each other. It's a disgrace in the sight of Almighty God for full-time workers not to get along with each other and for deacons to criticize full-time workers. And by the way, let me just say, I know what you're going to say. Brother Hiles, I'm going to help you. Next time I see something wrong with somebody, I'm going to write you a note and tell you, you missed the whole point. I'm not interested in you policing the neighbor next to you. I'm interested in you policing yourself. I get notes. Got one tonight. Didn't read it. Said from a concerned person. I don't read notes. If you haven't got the guts to sign it, I haven't got the time to read it. You say, I wrote that note. Okay, get some guts. And by the way, I'm sure the note wasn't against me because everybody loves me. But there's far too many people looking at their neighbor to see what they're doing wrong in order to preserve this work here. When this work will not be preserved because you check on your neighbor, I'm talking about checking a person you shave and a person whose hair you comb. You, yourself, live the kind of life that will preserve this institution. Be faithful so you can preserve this institution. Be loyal so you can preserve this institution. Win souls to Christ so you can preserve this institution. We built these roads. Let's don't let them decay like other churches like this have done. Let me tell you what will destroy the highways we built. Deacons who watch Hollywood movies on television. You say, aren't you afraid the deacons will vote you out? They haven't made the deacon that scares me. What will destroy the highways we've tried to build? Deacons who use the language of the world. Deacons who don't come to church on Wednesday night. What will destroy the highways we've built? Sunday school teachers are late to class. Staff members who simply have a job. What will destroy the highways we've tried to build? Christian school teachers are more faithful to school than to their church. I'll say it again. First Baptist Church of Hammond is 10 times more important than Hiles Anderson College. And the most important thing about Hiles Anderson College is that it draws them to come to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. What will destroy the highways we try to build and repair? Young people who listen to rock music. Now you teenagers, quit whispering and listen to me for a while. It's your generation. May I tell you when you're going to agree with Brother Hiles? When you have a teenager. I was telling you the other day, I was talking to a young lady having trouble in our high school. I said, you agree with what I preach? And she said, not all of it. And I said, well, what don't you agree with? And she said a few things, such as women's dress and music and rock music and so forth. And I said, if you had a child of your own, would you agree with me? Oh, yes, I'll agree with you then, she said. What will cause the destruction of the highways we've built and repaired? Church members not getting along with each other. Deacons who do not win souls to Christ. Bus workers who quit their bus routes. Church work takes the place of soul winning. Leaders who are on a who are a poor testimony at work. Church members who rob God of the tithe. Older people who let the younger people do the work. Church leaders who leave soul winning and bus work to the followers. The greatest soul winners in this church ought to be the men that meet the first Saturday night of each month over there in the chapel, call themselves deacons. Welcome to Deacon Appreciation Night. What'll cause the roads to be destroyed? School staff and faculty members not actively involved in the local church work. What's the difference in interdenominational people that are not involved in the local church and Baptist people not involved in the local church? What will cause the highways to be destroyed again? Members critical of leaders. Music becomes more important than preaching. And leaders do not practice what they expect of followers. We teach our children to dress modestly while we watch gymnasts perform with little clothing on television. And what they do wear is skin tight. He says, I don't like your preaching. I don't like your listening either. We teach our children to be honest and not steal while we rob God of the tithes. We make our children obey their parents while we disobey our Heavenly Father. We teach our children to be clean and pure, then let whores from Hollywood perform in a box in front of us in our homes. We teach our boys not to wear earrings and then make heroes of basketball stars who do. And even stay home Wednesday night and Sunday night to watch him on television. We teach our children to obey the law, then go 40 miles an hour ourselves and 30 miles on. Uh-oh. Hello. We teach our children to do their homework while our Bibles lay closed on the coffee table. Mothers teach their children to run with the right crowd while they run with Oprah and Sally Jesse Raphael and Jenny Jones and Montel Williams and Ricky Lake during the daytime. Teachers give demerits for students being late when they come late for their Sunday school class on Sunday morning. We teach those who follow us to be loyal while we're not loyal to those who lead us. We teach our students to pay attention in class while we don't pay attention in church. We teach honesty to our children as we fail to pay our debts on time. Well, that calmed it down a bit. We teach our children to be more faithful to school than to church. We teach our children to get along with each other and punish them if they don't while mom and dad fuss and fight. And then divorce and bounce the child from house to house and still expect the children to get along with each other. If they don't get along, we punish them. Brothers and sisters can't divorce each other. We teach our pupils to behave with each other and give them demerits if they don't. And then Sunday school teachers and employees don't get along with each other themselves. We teach our members not to gossip and cause division in the church, yet we preachers make hash of each other. We teach our children to get along as they play together while we fight with those with whom we work. This place is the great hope of the future of old-time fundamentalism. And some of you are toying with it. You're playing with the great hope of old-time fundamentalism. You say, Brother Hiles, I think you're overdoing it. Brother Jack Scott told me today he has a list of 475 preachers, pastors. We have their names and addresses, graduates of Hiles Anderson College, and 150 missionaries on foreign fields. These were in the program of commencement at Hiles Anderson College this year. He told me today that list of pastors has grown from 450 to almost 700. And the missionaries are now about 175. That means they're 870. Not talking, that's plus all the assistant pastors. That's plus all the Christian school teachers. That's plus all the evangelists. We're talking about 875 pastors in America and around the world that have sat in these pews and gone out from this college. Won't you tell me we haven't been doing some road repair? And don't you tell me that you're not playing with dynamite when you yourself carelessly preserve your own life and the work that you do in this church. Every once in a while, every Sunday school teacher here ought to rededicate his or her life to teaching that class. Every once in a while, every Christian school teacher here ought to rededicate his or her life to the preservation of the school where you teach. This place is the great hope of the future of old-time fundamentalism. Do your part. Pick up your shovel. Pick up your pick. And keep the highways in good repair. Just give me that old-time religion. Just give me that old-time religion. Just give me that old-time religion. It was good enough for America and our forefathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers, and it's good enough for me. It was good for John Rice. It was good for Lester Roloff. It was good for Dwight Moody. It was good for Billy Sunday. It was good for Charles Spurgeon. It was good for Oliver B. Green. It was good for Bob Jones Sr. And praise God, it's good enough for me. And every man whose name I mentioned a while ago believes everything that's preached from behind this pulpit here are dead. Now I'm saying this, I'm through for tonight. You, I'm talking about everybody over here. I'm talking about everybody up here and everybody over here. I'm talking about you guys on the platform and all you that are employed here. I'm talking about every man that calls himself a deacon in our church. I'm talking about every Sunday school teacher, 800 strong Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about everybody that holds a place of responsibility. Or those of you who are just sitting in the pew, you keep yourself straight. You keep yourself straight. Quit policing your neighbor and police yourself. Quit telling everybody what your neighbor's doing wrong and doubled your class. Or doubled your bus route. Every time I preach a sermon like this, I start getting notes. Did you know so-and-so did so-and-so? Not preaching to so-and-so, I'm preaching to you and so. I'm preaching to you so-and-sos. Police yourself. Clean up your own act. Hey, folks. I'll be 71 years old in a little over 3 months. My days are numbered. I'm not trying to keep this church in shape for me. I'm so old, I got a granddaughter sang tonight in the trio, and she's married. I got a great-grandchild. I'm married to a great-grandmother. What a deal. It's not my generation, brother. Now you listen to me carefully. You get mad at me if you want to, and you just trot your little self off to some little church where the pastor wears lace on his underclothing and they're pink at that, and you just go somewhere and do that. But I want to tell you something. You'll be just like one of these days, the couple, and you heard me tell this, but I'm going to tell it again. Down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where I preached Dr. Rice one night, A little lady walked up to me and she said, "Dr. Hiles, can I work at your book table?" I said, "I'm sorry, I already have three ladies there and that's all I need." "Can my husband and I take you out to eat after church?" I said, "I'm sorry, I don't go out and eat after church." She said, "Can we take you out for breakfast tomorrow morning?" I said, "No, I don't go out for breakfast like that." "How about lunch tomorrow at noon?" And I said, "I'm sorry, we have a preacher's meeting and a question and answer session." She put her head like that on her arm and put her arm on the pulpit on the desk like that and began to cry almost uncontrollably. And I said, "Ma'am, why are you weeping and why do you and your husband want to do something nice for me?" She said, "Don't you know who I am? My name is Yunkins, Younkins. My name is Yunkins. I was a member of your church in Garland, Texas. We were. We got upset with you. Listen carefully to me. We got upset with you. We joined the Second Baptist Church, moved our membership." She said, "Now that we live in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and you've become well known across America and around the world, you're our favorite preacher. We have an airplane. When you're within 250 miles of Fayetteville, Arkansas, we fly our airplane to hear you preach anywhere within 250 miles. We now fly 250 miles to hear you preach, but we used to wouldn't drive across town." She said, "You were a young preacher then. We had no idea that someday you'd be pastor of the largest church in America." She said, "We live in remorse because we could have influenced America by sticking with you." She said, "Why didn't you tell us that you're going to pastor America's largest church someday?" I said, "You didn't ask me." And that couple, lovely couple, missed their opportunity. You are so fortunate. You're sitting tonight in the pews of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, the road building church, the road repairing church of America. Tonight you need to dedicate yourself again. Yourself! Not your neighbor. Don't write me a letter saying, "Well, my child's teacher did so and so." Write me a letter and say, "My child's mother did so and so." How about instead of dragging your child's teacher to the altar, how about dragging yourself to the altar? Everybody in these pews tonight should dedicate himself anew. Not for me. It won't be long till I'll be wearing Bermuda shorts, playing shuffleboard in Florida, down there with you folks. Won't be long. But what's this boy going to do here? Come here, son. What's going to happen to this boy when he's 15 years old? Step up here. What's going to happen to him?
I like that haircut. Good night. It's like rubbing a porcupine's head.
What's going to happen to him? You know why I stand up here and make folks mad? Because I'm interested in this boy having a chance. And every boy like him in America. I'm saying, let's keep the highways in good repair. The highways we've worked hard to repair. And the highways we've worked hard to build. Let's keep them in good repair. Not for the sake of an old 70-year-old man, but for the sake of 5 and 6 year and 7, 8, 9, 10 year old children who have as much a right to have a First Baptist Church of Hammond and have a nation where they can travel anywhere they want to and live in any town in America and find somebody that believes that book, Preserve Words of God. It's up to us. God owes us nothing. He is not indebted to us. He doesn't love us more than He loved Dr. Vick's church, which is a joke now. I'm talking about 25 years ago. The great Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, it's a joke tonight. And don't you think it couldn't happen here? And it will not, we cannot guarantee it won't happen here just because God, an old man, stands up here and hollers every once in a while. You individually are going to have to take it on yourself that you are going to keep yourself in such a position and keep your work in such condition that this church will be here 25 years. I won't, but this church will be here 25 years from now. And somebody be up here throwing a fit then, just like I'm throwing a fit tonight. I've said it many times. Every organization, whether it's a Christian college, Christian school, or a Baptist church, that stays on fire for God has an old man at the top that explodes every once in a while. I try to tell you, let's build the highways and repair those that are overgrown. Our Heavenly Father, once again, I've tried to do what I can for these children, these young people. Once again, I've tried to do what I can to extend the life of this church. I pray to help our people. I pray that everybody in this room tonight will look at himself. Not his neighbor. Himself. And correct himself. Keep ourselves corrected. Keep the chug holes out of the highway. And build highways and repair the old. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will...